Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. And I'm going to be just giving a brief message, and most of it's going to be through a PowerPoint back here. And there was supposed to be a video I wanted to play for you, and but it's not working. So I may have to just explain everything. I want to begin with a word of prayer, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the hope that we have that is in you, that you can save lost sinners such as I and all of us. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. And thank you for our friends in Christ. And we are grateful for this church and for these people. We pray that you would just bless this time, bless this service. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. So before I begin, I want to just say just a few things. And that is, I want to just thank all of you. I want to thank all of you for allowing my family and I to be part of this church. And we being coming from the outside and not sure what we're getting ourselves into. And but you guys have been very welcoming and very accepting of us. And in fact, I've said to my wife, I think we felt more accepted here than any other church we've ever been part of before. I want to thank George and Irene Voth. They were our contacts, our main contacts, before we even came back here to Manitoba. When we were living in the States, they were there visiting on a regular annual basis, and we got to know them. I was shocked to find out that they knew John Plants and Larry Mitchell. And not just know them, but know them very well. And then George shared with me that their pastor, Pastor Arnold, was supported John and FOI. So these little connections was amazing to me. But I want to thank them for their friendship and generosity and all they've done for us and our family this entire time being here. I want to also give thanks to Pastor Arnold and Ruth and Kurt and Jeremy and all of you. You guys have been wonderful, and it's a blessing. And we're not leaving like we're wanting to escape. We're not leaving because anything bad happened. The circumstances are this. At the beginning of the year, we got a letter regarding our green cards. And the green cards, we had to renew them. And because we lived in the United States for 15 years, and so it came time we had to renew everything. But we weren't getting any response for a while. And then finally they sent us a letter and saying that we're not going to renew this until you tell us when you're going to move back here. And when is it going to be and where? Otherwise, what is the point of renewing the green cards? So around the same time, we got another call from the owner of our house saying that they wanted to sell the house. And the house is, we're renting it, and we can't afford it. So we had those two issues at that time right on in our hands. And at that same time period, I had to do a mission fest. And so this was the third one I've done. And Mission Fest is here in Winnipeg, and there's like 300 other ministries there. So there was a mission there that I became friends with like 3 years ago. They are called Village Missions. And they're an older couple, and they are the director of missions for all of Canada. And so I got to know them, because there have times where you have a lull and you're sitting on your table and there's nobody there. So you walk around and you're visiting other booths and vice versa, people coming to you. So I got to know them, and we had lunch together, and then we had dinner together. And so now this comes to this point. What is Village Missions? Village Missions is a ministry that's been around since 1948. They send missionary pastors to churches that may have had a pastor that has been there for a long, long time. And he might be in his 80s and 90s, and sometimes they pass away or they retire. But it's in a remote place in Canada and the United States. And it's hard to find places to fill these churches with pastors. And so you have pastors that come out of seminary. They don't want to go to towns like that. They want to go to a bigger town or bigger city. They want to be, some of them are focused on income, healthcare, and things like that. So Village Missions sends missionary pastors to these churches that are very rural. And this is what I've learned when I was living in Arizona. You know, we live in a small town there with 500 people. And the town was basically there to service the farming and the cattle, the cowboys that were living there. And I began to see, you go to a restaurant, for instance. The only one who has the money there, the income that's making the town survive and live were the farmers and the cowboys. They're the only ones that would come in and have a wallet with money in it. Most did not. And these same people, they kept the town alive. They were the ones going to the stores and the restaurants, the gas stations, and keeping it alive. If it wasn't for the farming people in Alfreda area, it was 500 people, but thousands of people all around the little town. And not only that, many of them would privately help people that they couldn't pay their bills. Some couldn't pay their water bill. Some couldn't pay electricity. And they would pay, like there was one person I can think of in particular who would help people throughout the town on a continuous basis. But he said, I want to be anonymous. I don't want anyone to know what I'm doing. And so I began to learn quickly that it's these farmers, these people that are they're keeping towns alive. If they were not there, I think a lot of the towns would literally shut down and become a ghost town. And I think this is true in the United States and it's true in Canada. And so, now at the beginning of the year, we met this couple that are part of Village Missions. So they told us that Canada has already filled a lot of their churches. And there's still room, but you may want to consider the United States because there's a lot more churches there that have a greater need of people to come and fill the positions there. And they said, maybe you should pray about it, think about it. Because I told them about our situation regarding our green cards. So I went home and shared it with my wife, and we just sat on it, we prayed about it, and then began to look into it deeper. And the more we looked at it, we thought it looked kind of interesting. And we were pulled into what they did, and then began to go. Yeah, I basically through the process. And I never prayed once to say, Lord, give this to me. I want this. I want to do this. I've never, ever prayed that. We've always prayed, Lord, we want your will to be done in our lives. If this is not your will, please close the door. And we prayed that many, 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 many times, and the Lord did not close that door. In fact, he kept opening that door. And so we went through the process, we got accepted, and then we had a couple coming from the Midwest into our house for about 3 days to give them orientation. Here's the irony of this whole thing. He knew Steve Herzig very well. He had Steve Herzig even stay in his house a few times. And so there was a connection there. And so we went through the process, got accepted. And then at the end, what we did is we put it on the shelf. And we didn't want to make any final decisions based on emotion, sentiment, or anything that like our own heart. We wanted to just have the Lord confirm to us what we should do and make a decision. So we looked at everything from a year, 5 years from now, if we were to stay here, and the same thing if we were to go there. And we begin to weigh things out. And in the end, we thought that this would be the best way for us to serve our family. And as you know, Manitoba, is doing really well financially. A lot of people live well here. And we've seen our kids maybe being pulled away a little bit into other things. And so we we realized that if we make a decision to go forward with Village Missions, I'd be working as a pastor. I'd be there also working, serving the community, bringing the gospel to the community in the area there by visiting people's homes, going to hospitals and then doing funerals and doing things and serving the community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this way, and we're going to have children's programs and kids' programs and for young and teenagers. And our family, my kids, can be involved in that on a weekly basis. They can go with me as they go to the hospitals and visit people and visit families. So they're going to be involved with having a spiritual focus and purpose. Hopefully, it'll keep them at least having the environment of something spiritual in a focus, and to keep them in the Lord. My first ministry is my family, is my children. I will not sacrifice my children and my family to any ministry. I don't care what ministry it is. They are my first. So the decision we made is for my family and for my wife and my children, that we can serve together. And now, is this going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. But with the Lord, nothing is impossible. And so there's a scripture. It's Romans 1:16. It says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God to change lives. It is the power of God to make a difference in people that are sinners. They're born and burdened under the sin in their lives. There are people in this world that we might look at and think, wow, they've gone through a rough and tough world. And that would be true. There are people that have gone through the world and gone, you know, got tattoos up their arm and down their back. Maybe even in jail. And I've spent many time with this these same people at the Union Gospel Mission. But I've seen firsthand at the Union Gospel Mission, where the Lord has allowed me to be there on a regular basis and to share the gospel and to disciple those who are already saved, and seeing a difference in some of their lives, that finally some of them got out of the drugs, out of the alcohol, and are now serving the Lord. There is power in the gospel to change a life. It changed my life when I got saved when I was 20 years old. And so those who get tattoos on their arms, they get saved. We can look at that and judge them. I look at that, and I know the Lord does. So these are people that are won by Christ and the power of his blood. They're won by the power of salvation to change that life. And now that person with those tattoos can go and reach people that are like themselves, that I cannot reach, I cannot talk to. But they can. And so they can bring the gospel to people that they were once part of. And so there's power in the gospel. This was the heartbeat of the message of the Apostle Paul and all the disciples of Jesus Christ and all of the apostles. And so anyone here that has a desire to preach the gospel and to share the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, we come from a very rich and powerful and wonderful lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church that he created, him being the head. And we are all parts of it, parts here, parts there. But it's a wonderful tradition that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, we all know that the world is changing. Things are coming upon this world. We don't know when the rapture is going to be. We're not giving a sign, but we see other things happening. But you know, we don't need to worry and focus on those things all the time. But one thing we can do and should do, and we are commanded to do, is to preach the gospel to all creatures, to all people, to all nations. So even in these little rural areas, that if there was not a person there, there would be no spiritual presence there. And a lot of these churches get run down and they collapse and they kind of break apart. And there's no spiritual presence in that town, in that church. And that church dies. See, this is the heartbeat of every nation, Canada, United States, even Israel, is the agricultural area. They are the breadbasket of the nation. Without them, where are you going to get your food? A lot of them are family-oriented people. They have big families, kids. They want the kids to have a spiritual background. Who's going to bring it to them? And so they need the gospel, and they need the spiritual word of God through the scriptures. And who's going to go? So my wife and my family and I, we've decided we are going to go. And we want to be as faithful as we can be to these people. So now, let me go through this. Those people look awfully familiar. We're going to a town called Isabel. Isabel is just about an hour and a half. If I'm driving, it's 2 hours. It's Gabby, probably 1 hour. From Bismarck. And so some of you guys are going around it even today and tomorrow. And Isabel is a small town. If you look at it on Wikipedia or on the internet, some of you already have, and you're not going to be overly impressed. It's less than 200 people. So like some will say 135. When we're there, maybe now 141, you know. So there is a gas station. There is one restaurant. You're more than welcome to visit us. I welcome any one of you to come to our home. But there's only one restaurant. So we don't have a lot of choices to take you as far as restaurants are concerned. But my wife is a good cook. She can make Mexican food. So let's see here. Okay. Village Missions has places all over Canada, United States. And actually, the Canada, that's an obsolete number. They basically right now only have 3 openings in Canada for someone to come in there to serve. So then number 10 is now, it's actually disappeared. It's now 2s everywhere in Canada. In the United States, there's now, I think, about 18 remaining churches that are available all across the nation to bring a pastor there. So this is the thing, is that when you go there as a missionary pastor, you see the church is not able to afford the pastor, the salary, and all those things. And so the ministry, that's where the ministry comes in to help in that area. So it's not a burden on the church. And the other thing I like about that is that then the you're not, you know, influenced by the money in the church. If there is someone with money in the church, you're now independent as far as you can share the word and you don't have to compromise your word because someone trying to lead you through money. So there it is. And let's go to the next one. That's one example of churches. Now, the churches that the Village Missions are part of, they don't pick like churches that are like falling apart and like, you know, decrepit. A lot of the churches are very nice churches. Very nice churches, very nice settings. And every setting in church has to be... And so every church has to is not falling apart decrepit. There's actually nice churches, and the Village Missions wants every one of those churches to have housing also provided, and so where we're going, it provides a place for us to live, and it's, you know, it's not like a it's a country church. It's just a simple house, but it's a nice house. And so we're very grateful that we were able to solve the problems of where to live and also save our green cards that we worked so hard to get. And once you lose that, it's a major obstacle to get it back again. And we went through many obstacles to get it in the first place. And this is exactly what I've already said, to bring the spiritual presence to rural Canada, America, impacting the town for the gospel. And one thing I like that when I was a pastor in the United States before we came here, I picked 2 or 3 people that I knew. They served as pastors for decades. Some were retired.
somewhere in their 80s, for advice. And all of them gave me the same advice. They said, preach the word and love the people. And because I was new to all that, I wanted to imply that in my life as a pastor. And that's the motto of Village Missions, to preach the word and love the people. And I appreciate that motto and that focus. And that's just talking about bringing the gospel to the community. There's all kinds of programs that we can use, like VBS, Awana, Sunday schools, Bible teaching for women, for children, for teenagers, for men. And there's activities in towns, there's parades, there's different things. So I plan on having a table and just giving away tracts, sharing the gospel with people in that town and surrounding towns. That is actually the church I'm going to. And that's what it looks like on both sides there. And it's a nice-looking church. And the people that are there, they take care of it. And that's where we're going next week. That's what the town looks like on the left. And when you look at it, you think, boy, that's it? And I have to say yes. But I look at it. Hey, look, there's green. There's trees. So it looks kind of not so bad there. And that's the house we're going to be living in right there. The parsonage is on the right. And, it's a nice home. It's got four bedrooms. It's not so bad. And but we're grateful for it. We lived in a home, actually, when we were living in Alfreda. It was maybe 40, 50 years old. It was old. But to us, it was a mansion. Why? Because we did everything there as a family with our kids. And we ended up having many wonderful memories there. Now the Lord provided a home like here in Stonewall. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's a beautiful home. But, you know, we didn't look at it that way. We looked at it as it was, God gave it to allow us to stay there. But we had many people coming in, and Gabby would have meals, and we would there. Be there to encourage people and do things in our house. So we use our house as a way to minister to people. So, you know, we're all just passing through. I don't have a clue what that is. Yes. This is the view from the backyard. And and so, yeah, you saw what we saw from the front. This is the backyard view. And that's the real reason why we're going. So forget about everything I just said. Wonderful view. We were there, we thought it looked exactly like Haifa. It was uncanny. So I want to just close now with some scripture. And all I ask of you is to keep us in prayer for my health. You know, I have diabetes too, insulin dependent. But also that we would thrive there, not for our sakes, but for the sake of the people that need the gospel and need to hear the word of God. And, I'm excited about it. I have to share this thing before I close one scripture and then I'm done. And that is that throughout my time being here with the Friends of Israel, you know, as much as I want to thank everybody that is here, I also want to thank the Plants family, John and Irene Plants. They've been great to work with. Steve Hertzik has been great to work with, and I have no complaints whatsoever about anything. They were wonderful. Now I totally lost my train of thought. Well, I guess I'll just go to the scripture. I'm going to go to Matthew 28, and maybe the thought will come back to me. This is a scripture you know. You probably have gone through it many times. Oh, this is what I was going to say. Throughout my time here, I wasn't expecting to have this come to me, but it happened many times. And that is this. I began to really miss what we did in Elfrida. You see, when we were in Elfrida, when we were there, I was there to replace a pastor who left. And I wasn't even expecting to get that job. I couldn't believe it, actually, they even hired me. Everything went so fast, and then we were there. But then, you know, we began to cultivate, we began to learn how to go through. That's why I had to get these mentors to kind of help me, guide me through that experience. And I had to work with the kids. I had to be the main pastor, and I was also the youth pastor, working with teenagers. And I met with people who were dying. I met people that of all different kinds and types of people in the town and in the church. I spent a lot of time with youth. I was very uncomfortable with that ministry. I never done that before. I was out of my comfort zone. And I didn't even think I made an impact until the day we left. When we left, there was teenagers there, troubled kids that parents were broken apart. Parents, some of them were on drugs, and even some of their own siblings were on drugs. And some came to me that were always part of the church, Awana, BBS, on Sundays, crying because we were leaving. We had part of the football team at the back with tears in her eyes because we were leaving. When I went back there about a year or two later to visit, and I began to speak in different churches, I was with the FOI. There was a guy whose name is Isaac. He's 6'4", this tall. He's got hair long down to here, and a bit of a loner. And he went to five of the churches I was visiting in the area. And so I said, "Why? You don't have to go to all of them. You can, you know, I appreciate it, you know." But he said to me, "Richard, I just wanted to thank you because of you having the program with the teenagers, where we played football and we had a devotional. You invited me to come be part of it. Because I've been as part of that, I've now been part of the church ever since then, and growing into the leadership of the church. And I just couldn't believe it, you know. In that same time period, I stopped to get gas. And then across from me, there was another young fellow getting gas as a teenager. Now he's a young adult. And he was one of the most troubled kids we had. He was getting into fights in schools, fighting at Awana, fighting in VBS, on the roof of the church. I mean, it was just amazing. I was always worried about this kid. We all were. And so I met him, and he's at the gas station over there, and he's now coming. He went to me, and he said, he still called me like Pastor Devite, you know. He said, "I just want to thank you and for this and that, and it was so good to see you." And we had more conversation after that, and then he left. But now I saw him, and he was extremely polite. He was like a nice kid. You should have seen him before. And I didn't realize we had an impact. And here's the thing, the last thing I did at the church, literally within the last hour, or everything was in a U-Haul, and we're getting ready to leave. We had a potluck. At the end of the potluck, there was this kid, his name was, what was his name again? Zach? And he was looking for me, and someone said, "There's a guy named Zach, 14 years old, looking for you." I'm thinking, "Zach? Who's Zach?" You know, because there were so many kids there, and we had about three different Zachs. And so he wanted to speak to you. So we're sitting. He wanted to be baptized. And so I explained to him, "Do you know what this is for?" And actually, he didn't know. So I asked if he knew the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. And see, before that, he came to a few of the Awana programs, and I drove him home because he lived a little bit a distance away. So we talked, and we prayed, and I prayed for him, and we had a fellowship together, and we had a nice rapport. Well, I led him to the Lord. And so he received Jesus Christ, and he knew why he was going to be baptized, and he knew the reason for it. And then I learned that he was going to church continuously after that, and getting discipled. And that was the last thing I did. And see, when FOI, it's a wonderful ministry. Awesome. I mean, the Lord opened that door powerfully in the Jewish community, where I got to share the gospel with quite a few different people, my testimony, the gospel, with Jewish people there. And I'm going to have contact with them even when I'm in Isabel, texting, fellowship, friendship, and continually trying to share the gospel with them. And I love the ministry with the Unity Gospel Mission. That was one of my favorite things. But what I miss is cultivating relationships with children, with older people, and seeing people come to Christ and seeing them growing in Christ. And us too growing in Christ. We are growing like everybody else. And so it's a ministry you stay and you cultivate like you do a farm. But you're cultivating in lives and souls with the gospel. And that is where my heart is. And as I'm grateful that the Lord opened the door to serve here, I do believe it was God's will. You know, the pastor that I replaced, he came back to the town of Elfrida. And he wanted to be a pastor again there at the church. It's a small a town and a small church. And so that we thought, I didn't want to divide the church. I didn't want that to be the reason, like, if I stay and then they want to be a pastor and then just waiting for us to leave or something like that. It's not a good dynamic when you have a former pastor coming in. And so that was one of the reasons why we left and to come here. And we believe it was God's will. And my wife and I have a book full of memories. We got to know Pastor Arnold. We got to meet many of you and many of the people in the Jewish community. And we've been blessed over and over and over and over again. And now we're leaving with these memories. We're only 8 hours away. We're not going to be strangers. We can text, we can visit each other, and you're more than welcome to come. But I, like I said, there's only one restaurant. But we have a wonderful view in the back. So let's just read the scripture, and I close. Matthew 28, verse 18. Actually, I want to go to verse 17. And when they saw him, Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." See, it doesn't matter if you're living in a small town like that town we're going to. We are going to the one who has all the authority, Jesus Christ. He's the one that we will look at. He's the one that we will hold on to. He's the one that we will have lead us and guide us through. And he's the one that wants to be also in Isabel. And it says that to share the gospel in all the words he said. And so we want to obey the call. And he says, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age." So the Lord is going to be even in Isabel. And he will go to all small towns and any far corners of the world, because that's where he wants to bring the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy word. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for this church. We pray a special blessing on everyone here. But I pray especially for Pastor Jeremy. Lord, you have chosen wisely with him and his leadership. And we continue to pray that you would guide him and everyone else around him with wisdom, with leading of your Holy Spirit, and that everyone, and that they would have also the fear of the Lord. Please have mercy, Father, on this church and this congregation, that even in this small country church, not in a highly populated area, this is just another Isabel. Lord, we thank you for this Isabel, and for this church, and for its leadership. and all the people. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, and shalom you all. We're off to Haifa.